The word of the Lord from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear friends in Christ, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And with that joyous proclamation, the ending of Mark's account of Easter sounds a little disappointing, actually. The women arrive at the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for permanent burial, wondering who will roll away the stone. And when they arrive, the stone is rolled away, and an angel inside the tomb declares, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So Christ is risen from the dead. The battle was won on Good Friday, and it's proven on this first day of the week. He is not in the tomb. Christ is risen from the dead. With this momentous, joyous news fresh in their ears, we hear that these women, seized with trembling and astonishment, say nothing to anyone because they are afraid. They are not alone in trembling and fear. Just think back over the previous 2 days. On the sixth day of the week, when the battle is decided and sin is defeated, it doesn't look like victory at all. Christ the King is Christ the corpse. His troops do not gather around him and declare that he has nobly given his life in a great cause. His followers have scattered into the gloom, hopeless and fearful, save a few who watch from a distance. And in fact, on that day, it's a secret follower who steps up near sunset. Joseph of Arimathea asks for the body of Jesus. He's sort of a one-hit wonder in Scripture, appearing here and nowhere else. We know that he's a man of wealth. We know he's a member of the Sanhedrin. And Mark 15 tells us that claiming the body of Jesus is no small thing. The text says that Joseph dares to ask Pilate to take custody. Claiming to know Jesus when he was still living was risky enough. Peter denied him 3 times. Coming out and claiming to know Jesus after he's dead seems totally foolish. And Joseph of Arimathea is sacrificing his name in the eyes of the world as he denies himself and takes up his cross to take care of the body of Jesus. So Joseph takes courage and he claims the body. Receiving permission from Pilate, he takes the body of Jesus, wraps it in a clean linen shroud and lays it into his tomb, his brand new tomb, carefully cut out of rock to receive his remains in that garden, along with the remains of his household. That is the end of the sixth day of the week. and then dark day yields to dark night. Man, created by God in God's image on the sixth day of the week, has now killed God incarnate in man's image on the sixth day of the week. The next day dawns, the Sabbath, the day of rest, the great Sabbath of the Passover celebration. And while the disciples hide in fear, there is at least unease among his enemies. The chief priests and Pharisees, who were so careful not to step into Pilate's palace the day before, now gather before the Gentile ruler on the Sabbath and ask him to secure the tomb. It's not that they expect Jesus to rise from the dead, but that they theorize that Jesus' bumbling and fearful disciples will raid the tomb, steal the body, and fake a resurrection. A little ironic, yes? While the disciples are probably already locked in their room, terrified, it's the enemies of Jesus who remember that he said he would rise again. Pilate's not the smartest, but neither is he the dumbest. He could just point out that if the disciples fake a resurrection, they'll be hunted down and prosecuted for robbing a grave. And even if they're not, nobody's going to believe them until they produce the resurrected Jesus for all to see, which wouldn't happen if they steal the dead body, because they certainly can't bring Jesus to life. Instead, though, Pilate wearily tells them that this is a you problem. You have a guard of soldiers, he says. Go make it as secure as you can. So they do. Do you want to know some more delicious irony? On the third day, the chief priests and Pharisees aren't going to hear the disciples claiming that Jesus is risen from the dead. They're going to hear their own guards telling them. That's even better than the stones crying out. So that's Saturday, the seventh day, the Sabbath day, the day of rest. God created man on the sixth day and rested on the seventh. Man killed God on the sixth day and is restless on the seventh. What isn't clear yet is that God has redeemed man on the sixth day of the week and is now laid to rest in the tomb on the seventh. Now, that's not yet clear. In between the death and the resurrection, that day of rest for God is a time of restlessness for sinners. It takes courage to watch and wait for the Lord. And this brings us to the first day of the week and the women at the tomb. As they leave the tomb, trembling and afraid, they're in the same boat as everybody else. Now, they have heard that Jesus is risen from the dead, but they haven't seen him. Yes, it's accomplished and the tomb is empty, but think for a second on the angel's last five words to them. All of this is just as he told you. Jesus said again and again that he would rise from the dead beforehand. Even the Pharisees knew. When Jesus said it, it was the Lord speaking his holy word, which means his resurrection was just as sure a thing before it happened as after he rose from the dead. So, while I don't blame the women for doubting any more than I blame the disciples, neither are the women nor the disciples to be excused for their doubts. The Lord calls for his people to live by faith and not by sight. He calls us to believe often in spite of what we see. Now, the Lord lets these women and the disciples off the hook pretty quickly. I mean, they'll see him by the end of that day. For your sake, he wants lots of witnesses to bear witness, to speak up that they have seen him risen from the dead. When the women depart from the tomb at the end of our gospel reading, though, they're not just like the disciples, they're just like you. You haven't seen the risen Jesus either. It's only by faith in what you've heard that you cry out that he is risen. We speak often of repentance and forgiveness and faith, but it also takes courage to follow Jesus. This is the courage of Noah and his family, eight souls in all. sitting inside an ark while the rains fall, the cries of the wicked are drowned, and the earth is covered in flood. It is a courage to say that God is merciful, even when it seems he could be no more furious. This is the courage of the Israelites staring at an impossible dry path between two walls of Red Sea water with Pharaoh's troops drawing near to slaughter. It is the courage to trust that despite danger all around, the Lord will deliver his people and defeat their enemies. It is the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who look at a false god in a fiery furnace and say it is better to burn than to bow. The courage to have no other gods before them, and then to find the Son of God in the furnace with them. It is the courage of Joseph of Arimathea to go to Pilate and claim Jesus. It is the courage to say that when all seems lost, it is still a good time to confess the Christ. You need courage too, because you face trouble and enemies and coercion and death. And since you haven't seen the risen Jesus, you're living by faith too. So let's be clear. This courage is the courage of faith. In other words, if you find yourself saying that you probably wouldn't stay faithful for 40 days in a floating box stuffed with smelly elephants during a flood, or that you might just panic when facing the Red Sea as Pharaoh's troops have murder in their hearts, or if you are fairly certain you'd cave before Nebuchadnezzar's furnace or Pharisees' stairs and stones, all I can say is, blessed are you. You know yourself, your weakness, and your sin, and you're not going to pretend you've got what it takes in yourself. This courage is not found in you summoning up your strength against trouble in order to show God how much you deserve his help. This courage comes from confessing your lack of it, along with all of your sin. For with forgiveness, the Holy Spirit strengthens your faith and gives you courage to stand and watch, and wait. Take courage, friends, by which I don't mean you'd better find some. Rather, have some courage. Receive some courage. You do not have to summon up some bravery in yourself to speak well of one long dead, because he is alive again, and alive again, he has courage to give you with all of his gifts. Receive strength to stand as you receive his absolution. Remember that you've been clothed in the armor of God since he clothed you in your baptism. Take courage as you take and eat his body, take and drink his blood for the forgiveness of sins. You gather now in this night, anticipating tomorrow's Easter dawn. You live in the shadow of the grave, but even more sure than tomorrow's sunrise is your resurrection on the last day. So take courage. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, and you know where to find him. He is not in the tomb. He is here for you in his means of grace. For just as he told you, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.